This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Yesterday, NPR's Alex Chadwick reported from the Central African Republic, where he's on a National Geographic radio expedition. Today, he meets with an American conservation researcher who has spent more than 10 years studying a little-known species of elephant that lives in the forest.
The forest in Central Africa is dense, like the whole world crammed into a 100-foot radius of tree and vine. You could hide an elephant in here. Well, this is where they hide. Elephants, different from the ones in tourist pictures from the broad savannas of places like Kenya. Forest elephants in the Congo region are so hard to find, most people give up looking. It was only a couple of years ago that scientists figured out they're actually a separate species. At the southern tip of the Central African Republic, the New York-based Wildlife Conservation Society has a researcher named Andrea Turcalo at one of the few places you can see forest elephants, a remote clearing called Zangabai.
Why do the elephants come to the clearing?
Well, the big draw is minerals. They've got their trunks constantly in these dry holes, or they're in puddles working their trunks through the layers to get to this mineral-rich layer, which is constantly throughout the entire Bai.
The Bai, B-A-I, a local word for a clearing, is about a mile and a half from Andrea Turcalo's camp. We hike on open trails used by the forest elephants. They're always at this clearing, often more than 100 of them. One theory, ingesting the soil there helps digestion. I can tell we're getting near. There's light through the trees up ahead, and now I can hear them. A dozen wild elephants are grazing through a natural clearing several hundred yards long and 150 across. The animals have stomped a broad delta, green with young grass, around a small, fast stream flowing through the middle. We climb wooden steps to an observation platform at the edge of the tree line on the west side, and Andrea begins to work.
Some of these individuals you see basically all year round, and others you only see a couple of times during the year.
She is making observations and notes. The daily routine of a field scientist gathering data to answer still basic questions about these elephants. What is group size and mating behavior? How do they socialize? How do they communicate? We talk quietly so as not to bother them.
If you see an individual a couple of times a year, how do you recognize them? I mean, even though you have a lot of experience.
I spend a lot of hours alone just watching. I have identity cards for all the individuals. When I come here, I basically identify all the individuals I know, and the ones that I don't know that have prominent earmarks, these holes and notches, I draw. And I also keep an account of the age, the sex, you know, the associates, who the individual is with, in the case of females, family groups.
Andrea has done this, living in the forest, for 11 years, an American woman in her mid-40s. She knows hundreds of elephants by sight and has records of nearly 3,000.
But it's basically the ear pattern that you're watching.
Yeah, the ear pattern, the curvature of the tusks, the length, I estimate tusk length.
My radio expedition's colleague, Bill McQuay, was hoping to record elephants, not all this chatter. He takes his microphones to a smaller platform nearby, and a male elephant notices. They don't like humans here. The elephant is walking toward this new intruder, until it stops just 30 feet away and raises its trunk to point straight at Bill. The question of who runs the Bai settled. The great creature wanders off. The elephants usually enter the bay at the south end, down to our right, about a quarter of a mile. Even without binoculars, and at this range, Andrea reels off names and lineage for many of them.
Oh, you know, I think it is. It's Anemone 3. It's good to know who she is, because the majority of these elephants aren't very aggressive, but that particular family can be pretty dangerous, because they come for you. They don't stop. They just keep coming. Here comes the rest of the group. The next one coming in is Anemone 1, the matriarch.
What would they actually do, Andrea?
Well, that one I don't trust. If she could get you, she would. And she'd kneel on you and probably stab you with her tusks, and, you know, you'd be lucky if you survived.
Sometimes she meets elephants when she's alone on the trail. But she has never been hurt by them and says she is unafraid.
You know, you just have to be able to read their behavior. Because you don't know what they've encountered in the past. I suspect with this particular female, she's had problems with people, and she has not forgotten it. And they don't forget.
If that is so, they must hold grim memories of most human encounters. First, Africans hunted them, and then Europeans conquered regional tribes and sent them to plunder the forest.
People had to bring in rubber, they had to bring in ivory, they had to bring in different forest products, and ivory was one of the main items, and they exported hundreds of tons of ivory from this part of the world.
That was long ago. Now there's a ban on ivory, though poachers still shoot elephants for illegal ivory trade and for meat. They'd kill many more at Zonga Bay, except that Andrea Turcalo demands local guards enforce the laws that exist on paper. It's almost miraculous that any place like this still exists.
I think some of the big tusked males, they're smart. You'll notice if there's noise, they move. They don't come back. The females will come back, but in this bay, if the males are scared off, they generally don't come back.
Well, maybe they've learned that they're the ones the hunters are after.
Yeah, I think they do know that. But it's all very tenuous right now, too, because there's so much logging going on. This area is basically surrounded by logging concessions, building roads, a lot of poaching going on, a lot of guns coming in.
Here?
Yeah. There's been a lot of civil unrest in this area. So trying to protect these animals is very, very difficult.
Rich in wildlife and natural resources, the Central African Republic is an economic mess. They poach elephants here for lack of better work, and because they're hungry. It's hard for an outsider to know what to do, how to help. But Andrea Turcalo is not an outsider anymore. She lives here, and with a mission to study the elephants and try to save them as well.
I think that's a very important part of studying any animal, protecting it. I think if you're not willing to protect it, then you have no right to study it, because, you know, it's a privilege to study these animals. Not everybody gets this chance, and I've been very lucky.
Tomorrow, a story of luck and elephants in the forest, as this radio expedition concludes at Zonga Bay in the Central African Republic. This is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society. There are photographs and maps on the website npr.org. It's 11 minutes before the hour.